All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Post-draft day edition of the show. I'm Bobby Fenton. Thank you for joining us. And the Buccaneers, as of this recording, are one edge rusher heavier than they were last time we spoke, as Joe Tryon out of the University of Washington, at least until he signed, is pending as a member of the Buccaneers, and he is their 2021 first-round draft pick with the 32nd overall pick as the Bucs add to their pass rush, we hope. And, of course, by the time you hear this, they may have made some of their later-round picks, which we'll talk about on the next show. They've got two picks today, which are rounds 2 and 3 later on tonight. I'm recording this on Friday morning. Picks number, I believe, 64 and 95 overall. We'll get to all that later on, though. Of course, the big story is the number one pick for the Bucs. So thanks for joining us here on JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere on the internet for Buccaneer coverage. And I want to thank our good friends over at Bill Curry Ford. As always, if you're looking for a vehicle, whether it's brand new, whether it's pre-owned, whether it's used, whatever it is, all you have to do, it's right at your fingertips, is go to the website first. That's BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, how they spell it, BillCurryFord.com. And there you can see all the inventory. Of course, you're always welcome at the magnificent showroom that's recently renovated. It's huge. Right there a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. And there, you've got the huge lot outside, the showroom inside, everything social distance, all that good stuff. Whatever you do, though, if you end up buying a vehicle from Bill Curry Ford, it's covered under the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, which means as long as you own the car that you bought at Bill Curry Ford, you can bring it back into the service center if there's engine trouble. All those things are taken care of, which is a beautiful thing. And on top of that, 10 years roadside assistance. You get the first year of service free with oil changes and all that. So check them out. If you want to stay home, go to the website. Tell them what you want that you saw on the website, and they will bring it to you just for a test drive, not even anything you want to buy. Just a test drive, they'll bring it to your home or office or wherever, and same thing if you purchase it. So it's all taken care of for you. BillCurryFord.com, or go see them a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry in Tampa. And I know Sean Sullivan, the GM there, is excited. I'm excited. You know, it's not the same excitement as when you pick high in the draft. And, you know, a lot of times with the build-up to the draft, you've got names on a list. Maybe it's one name in some years. Like, last year it was just a tackle, but really it was Wirfs, and the Bucs somehow got him, even though four tackles went before him. This year there was a wide range of things. So Joe Tryon is not an unfamiliar name. I mean, he was one of the people that, if you're a draft nick, if you read JoeBucksFan.com or any of the Bucs websites or follow a lot of the mock drafts, this one was projected to the Bucs in certain corners, and it's never a sure thing when you're picking that far back, but it actually laid out, and the Bucs wanted him. I mean, I'll tell you, watching the draft last night, and it was a late night, but if you stayed up, the Bucs went on the clock, like right at midnight. But every other team, like all 31 of the other picks, I think they seemed to go like, I mean, the clock in the bottom left corner of the screen on ESPN seemed to always get at least below 4 minutes. Like, I don't think I remember anybody picking in the first half of their time allotted. And then the Bucs get the pick at 32, and, you know, a lot of teams, I don't know a lot of teams, but there was reports, and I would imagine this is true for every draft pick, but there were reports that the Bucs were fielding some calls, and by fielding, I mean teams were calling them, not that the Bucs were interested, about maybe teams trading up to get that 32nd pick, and the Bucs could get some extra picks. Not only did the Bucs not do that, did you notice, like, they turned in the card real quick. Like, it was the clock, I looked, I rewound the DVR. The clock on the screen was on 7 minutes when it changed over to the pick is in. So the Bucs were like, I mean, you could tell they had targeted this guy, and if he was available, they were going to take him. Because once the Ravens picked in front of them and Joe Tryon was still there on the board, boom, they ran the card up there, called it in, and they made their pick. And it flashed up on the screen, linebacker. You know, he is not a linebacker in the traditional sense. He's a pass rusher. The way they label players, it depends with the 3-4 and the 4-3 and all that stuff. But, I mean, you all know this if you've been following, and even if you haven't, I had a couple friends text me, oh, we got a linebacker? I was like, no, we didn't get a linebacker. This is an edge guy. He pass rushed on, I believe, 85% of his snaps at Washington. Now, there's some pros and cons to the pick. So, I mean, I'm not going to just do the routine over-the-moon stuff. Oh, we got, because nobody knows. But here's what they got in Tryon, okay? Like I said, 85% of his downs were spent pass rushing at Washington. He's not great against the run, so admittedly. Didn't play in 2020. He was one of the opt-out guys. In fact, he tried to, I think he opted out, then he changed his mind later in the process, but I believe it was too late. So he was in college for 4 years total. 2017, he was a true freshman. He redshirted. 2018 and 2019, he played. In 2019, he was a full-time starter and put up good numbers and played well, then did not play in 2020. So the one thing I'll say about that that I do kind of like, and Jason Light said it in his post-draft interview, is that with Tryon, it probably, if he had played in 2020, he would have been unavailable to the Bucks at number 32. It would have been higher. And so it was kind of like a market inefficiency type thing, which I love. Like the Rays, for example. I'm not going to go all into baseball, but you know the whole thing going back, what, almost 20 years now, I guess, with Moneyball and the way teams changed the way they evaluated players. And basically the whole premise of that was, can we find value in guys that there's value that other teams don't recognize because we're looking at it a different way? And can we get people that nobody else wants, even though they're really as valuable as the people they all do want, or maybe even more valuable? That's the whole thing that Moneyball is based on, is market inefficiency. What are other teams not seeing or not valuing that we can exploit and value and get? So with Tryon, it's not necessarily any stat or anything like in baseball that they figured out different stats that no one was paying attention to or advanced metrics. In this case, it was just that he didn't play. So yeah, I mean, it feels like, okay, maybe we got a guy at number 32 who's really like a top 15 or top 20 pick, but since COVID happened, he didn't play, and you know, a lot of people weren't as familiar, maybe he fell a little bit, but you're still getting that same guy. So I like that part about it. As far as looking at him, and physically, I mean, he's a Greek god. And I will say this with a completely unembarrassed straight face. He's a pleasure to look at with his shirt off. Let's be honest. You see that one picture of him on Twitter? I mean, the guy is, he's 6'5", 265, ran a 4.6 3.40. He's one of those guys. Like, he, you know, some of these guys are, I'm not going to say he's a workout wonder. In fact, that's what worries me a little bit, because he kind of fits some of the workout wonder profiles, because he's got the look, he's got the numbers, he's got the flashy pass rush stats without being good against the run. So some of those characteristics kind of feel like one of those guys who ends up, you know, not being what you thought they'd be, even though the metrics were all there. I mean, we've seen that before. That's a timeless tradition in the NFL. I'm not saying he's like that. I'm just saying that's one of the things that worried me a little bit about him. But if you looked at what we talked about on this show, and it wasn't just us, with that 32nd pick, you know, they had options. I said I'd love to see anything at cornerback, because you can never have enough of those. And in fact, a lot of cornerbacks end up going, like, if there had been fewer cornerbacks drafted and some of the guys higher on the list were available, I still might have been hoping they went that way. They still had Asante Samuel Jr. out there, but, you know, that would have been fine with me. I said offensive line, that would have been cool. You know, Jensen and Kappa are free agents after this year, and even though the offensive line starting five is pretty set to go, everything's set to go, that's something I would have been okay with. And then what else did we say? We said rushers. You can never have too many rushers. And, you know, JPP is good to go for now, but he's getting older. He's only got 1 year left on his deal anyway. So they're going to need something there. So now Joe Tryon slots in. You've got JPP and Shaq Barrett. Anthony Nelson is usually the guy that's out there when one of those two is off the field. We'll see how Tryon pans out and if he's able to be someone who can do that as well, and then eventually be someone who steps in when either Barrett or JPP is not there. And, you know, injuries happen and stuff like that, so that could be this year. But even if this year goes perfectly for the Buccaneers and everything is fine, you know, he's still a guy who will see playing time, and it would be the majority of the time on passing downs, of course. But, you know, it's not a bad pick. They got to a point in the mid-20s where it was starting to look like, okay, there are several names out here that are worth taking a stab at. And I say taking a stab at because I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, now they're going to get the guy they want no matter who it is, and this is what they... because it's just such a crapshoot, you don't know. But there were several names by the time they got to like the 28th pick where I was like, okay, they should be able to get somebody who at least we can say, yeah, that was worth trying. It doesn't mean he's going to be good, but it was worth trying, and Tryon was definitely one of those. And, you know, I never thought that they were actually going to do the running back thing, and yet I was a little worried about it. I mean, I didn't think they were going to do that, but then I saw Pittsburgh pick up Najee Harris with, what pick was that, like 20, I can't remember, was it early 20s or something like that. And I said, okay, good. That's one of them off the board. I wanted these running backs to be off the board because I didn't even want it to be an option for the Bucs. I didn't even want them to think about taking a running back in the first round. So then Harris goes. Etienne was still out there. And then Travis Etienne goes to Jacksonville at number 25. And I don't know what the hell Jacksonville's thinking. I love Etienne. He's a great player, okay? I told you guys this over and over in the lead-up. This is nothing against these individual running backs, but last season, the Jags had a huge amount of success with a guy named James Robinson, who was an undrafted free agent. So now they draft a guy with their first round. I know they had Lawrence, number one overall, obviously, but they have another first-round pick, and they draft a running back. And even after they did it, they said, okay, well, you know, we've got James Robinson, we got Carlos Hyde, we want Travis Etienne to be able to come out there and be a third down back and be one of those guys that can help us out. So I'm thinking, did you really just say that you went out there and wanted to get someone who's going to be number three on your depth chart at the least important position in professional football with your number 25 overall pick? That's basically what the Jacksonville Jaguars did, admittedly. And I thought that was crazy. I mean, to me, yeah, he's going to be a third down back. Again, who cares? I mean, they just did it last year. They just got a guy off the street, and he was really good. That's because that's how you get running back. I mean, I say it every show, I think, at this point, but you still see teams doing it. Mike Tomlin was asked the same question, said, we don't subscribe to the no running backs in the first round thing. And then Jacksonville goes out and gets ETN. But like I said, at least when they did that at 25, I said, okay, pretty sure we're not going running back now. And that made me feel a lot better, you know, about the whole thing. And, you know, all the things that were possible for the Bucs. I didn't think that was the most likely anyway, but it took it off the table completely. So there are some good players still available on day two. There always are. Obviously, the Bucs have to wait again to the very end of the second round with the 64th overall pick. I don't think anybody like Asante Samuel Jr. will be available, or Barmore from Alabama, or any of those guys. Elijah Moore, the Ole Miss wide receiver, he's really good. I was surprised he didn't go in the bottom of the first round, but somebody in the top few picks of the second round will get him, and things like that. As far as other stories for the entire draft, obviously the quarterback thing was a big thing. It was only the fourth time that there were five quarterbacks or more taken in the first round. I think what they say the second time that the top three were all quarterbacks. So, you know, we talked about this before. Lawrence to Jacksonville at number one, fine. I don't think Zach Wilson, I mean, number two for the Jets, they're high on him. I would have done something like Fields, fine. 49ers at three going Trey Lance, I was a little surprised about. And again, I wasn't there at all these interviews, and you hear all these different things. I know that Justin Fields had the epilepsy thing, which I don't think is a big deal. Heard some other rumors that maybe his interviews weren't that good or whatever. I have no idea, so I mean, I can't comment. None of us can. But to see Fields after those three guys go, and then you look at the teams that were coming up next to all pass on him, and it made sense for some, like Atlanta. Okay, they've got Matt Ryan, a veteran quarterback, who they're still riding. I could see them passing. Cincinnati's already got Joe Burrow. They're building around him. They went and got him Jamar Chase. Fine. Miami's got Tua. Even there, I'm not sure they shouldn't have taken Fields, but okay, they've got Tua. They did something else. Detroit just traded for Jared Goff. Okay, they're not making a move for Fields. But then you get to Carolina. Carolina's got Sam Darnold. What are you doing? Why would you don't want Fields? Like, I would have taken Fields if I was Carolina. I mean, I'm glad they didn't because they're in the division. I think I'm high on Fields personally. But I don't understand, like, needing a quarterback and letting Fields just go right by. Like, I'm not saying, like, he should have been the top, you know, number four, number five overall pick because teams didn't all need quarterbacks. But once you got to Carolina and then Denver behind them, I know they're a little bit better off at quarterback because they have Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater. But even still, neither of those guys is, like, a franchise guy. I don't think Locke is at this point, although it's, at least with him, it's still pending. But, yeah. Carolina, really surprised they didn't go that direction. Then you get to Philadelphia, they got Jalen Hurts. Again, that doesn't mean necessarily they shouldn't have taken Fields, but okay. And then he ends up going to Chicago, who moves up to get him, and I know the Bears get ripped a lot for draft moves and things like that, or their quarterback situation, but that was a really sound play by the Bears to move up to get their guy, and if I was a Bears fan, I'd be tickled pink today to be able to say we got Justin Fields, and you know, you have to give up a little something to move up, but it wasn't anything crazy. And I think he's going to be really good. So that was the big story of the top of the draft, but you know, and then Mac Jones going to the Patriots too, it was interesting. And so now we get to go watch them all go out there and do their thing. Some of them will be starters right away. I think the Bears said they say Andy Dalton is still QB1, just like they tweeted out. Obviously, Lawrence will get right after it, and I would imagine the same thing with Zach Wilson, which, by the way, the New York tabloids always have great headlines. You know, they're very poetic up there. And the headline this morning, I think it was the Daily News, was New Zach City. New Jack City was a good movie in the 90s. So hats off to them for the play on words there. They always figure something out. And then there's the Bucks, who are just sitting there. You know, we knew it was going to be a late night, but it felt good, didn't it? Like, didn't it feel good every time they'd scroll through the picks to see 32 Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And it felt really good. Let me say this. When Roger Goodell got up there, it felt really good. I actually had a little grin come across my face. I was in the bedroom, like getting ready for bed. It was completely dark. My wife's already laying in bed. Not, I wouldn't say pissed off, but just getting a little annoyed that the TV's still on. But she, of course, would never. I mean, she understands. So I was like, okay, you know, it's midnight. Bucks are about to pick. Then we'll turn this off. You know, sorry. But then Goodell gets up there and he says, with the 32nd pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Joe Tryon. That felt nice. You know, you got to enjoy all the little trappings of winning a Super Bowl because the game itself's only 3 hours. The trophy, all that stuff, the parade, that's within the first few days. But championships really are forever. So you got to enjoy everything that comes with it. Weeks, months, years in the past, or in the future, I mean. And that's what that was. It just kind of felt like, okay, yeah, that was nice to see. It felt good. And that's the only time. I mean, he should be required to say it, or whoever announces the pick should be required to say it for all six or seven, whatever it is, of the Bucs draft picks, not just the first one. I know they don't televise most of them anyway. But I would like that to be written in where they have to say all those things. But it was pretty late, and I know a lot of you may not have stayed up for it. You didn't miss anything except taking a little bit of pleasure in that. And I made a big mistake with my son, who's only 9. He's in third grade. And I don't know if I told this story before, but we had a big party at my house last year for the draft. That's the reason I'm not at the draft party, by the way, which I know was great last night at Big Storm Brewing Company with the Sage. Of course, the Joes were there. Our good friend Rock Riley was there, one of my favorite guys in Tampa sports media. And they had a great party. But I always have, like, this goes back to, like, right after college. Like, I've always had people over to my house for the draft. Like, that's where we do the draft. So last year, when we drafted Wirfs, my son was out there for the party. We set it all up in the driveway. And he got, this, that was the first year he got really into it. He said, Dad, and he was only in second grade at that point. He goes, hey, can I stay up for the Bucks pick from now on in my life? And I wasn't even thinking, you know, we were riding the high. We drafted Wirfs. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, from now on, you're old enough, whatever. You can stay up for the Bucks draft pick now. Not thinking they're going to win the Super Bowl at all. It wasn't even cross my mind. So I'm like, yeah, yeah, fine. You can stay up for the draft picks. And, of course, you know how kids are. Like, if you tell a kid something that they want to hear, they never, ever, ever forget it. Like, it's not like some throwaway line, and, oh, he's going to forget I told him that. So I told him that in April of 2020, last year. And he absolutely latched onto that, and it's all he thought about. And even watching the Bucks games this year, like, he'd be happy when they won, just because they won, because he's a Bucks fan now. He's old enough, he understands, and he's getting into it just like his old man. But he also kept saying, hey, the more they win, the later we pick, right? And I was like, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. And then when they won the Super Bowl, like, again, I think he was happy they won the Super Bowl, but he was even more happy. He was like, this means they pick number 32, right, Dad? Because they won the Super Bowl? And I was like, well, yeah, yeah, that's what that means, yes. And he's like, so I get to stay up till they pick no matter what you said so, right? And I was like, well, you know, that's pretty late now. I didn't really think of it that way, man. But he's like, no, you said that. So it turned into a whole fiasco last night because even my buddies who came over to my house, you know, and they've all got, we're all in the same boat. We've all got kids about the same age, and, you know, we're all right around 40. And everybody stayed till like the teens, and then people started leaving, and the last couple guys left after like the 22nd pick. So we had still had 10 picks to go, and that, you know, it was like over an hour to go. And I was like, okay, buddy, you know, it's like, it was like 10:30 or whatever it was. I'm like, you need to go to bed, man. Like, I'm sorry. As your father, I'm doing you a disservice, even though I know you think it's cool, by letting you stay up. And he was clearly like, he needed to be in bed. And it turned, he got really upset. So then he said, well, promise you'll wake me up for the Bucks pick. And I was like, you know how they think that's okay. Like, they're going to go to sleep for an hour. I'm going to wake him back up. So I was like, well, let's just get in bed. And I just kind of blew off the question. So then he woke up this morning, realized I hadn't come back in the room to wake him up for the 32nd pick, and he was furious. And I felt bad because, you know, I mean, you have to look out for your kids on one hand and make sure they get the adequate amount of sleep or more. On the other hand, though, it's not good to tell your kids you're going to do something than not do it. So, like, I told him that. I said, listen, I was wrong to tell you that a year ago. I should have thought it through more. And I know this isn't football, this is more parenting thing, but it was just a funny story from last night. I said, that's my fault, okay? I shouldn't ever tell you something because kids need to be able to hear their parents say things, whether it's good or bad, and at least know that that's the truth. So I said, I'm sorry about that, buddy. That was my fault. But you need to go to bed, like that part. And so now he says, you know, that he's determined to stay up for the entire first round, no matter when the Bucks pick, for the rest of his life, just to prove a point about last night. We'll deal with that in the 2022 NFL draft. But for now, the best part of the story is like, well, who'd they pick? I was like, Joe Tryon, Washington. He's like, okay. He has no idea who these people are. But a lot of us, you know, I do this show. It's my job to follow this. And I knew who Joe Tryon was. But I mean, you know, I'm like, yeah, this guy, whatever. You know, it's the 32nd pick. And he may end up being a Hall of Famer. He may end up being a bust. We have no idea. There's a very good possibility that people we draft tonight or over the weekend in later rounds may end up even being better. In fact, I'm going to do that. I'll do that for next week's show. I should have done that this week, but I'll do it for next week's show. I want to go back through the years and not rate the Bucks draft necessarily, but just take who the best players were from each draft and just see which round they were in. Because I'll bet more often than not, I mean, just thinking back, there's a lot of them that were in the first round. You think of our Hall of Famers, like Warren Sapp. But not all of them. Yeah, I can think of other ones that weren't. You know, I'm going to look at every draft, maybe going back through the team's history, or at least through the, you know, last 20 years maybe, and just see what round was the best player, just from that draft. Even if the player wasn't necessarily great or bad, just what was that year's best player that the Bucks got. And I'll bet you we're still going to hear that name to come. Maybe it will be Joe Tryon, but maybe not. The lower you pick, though, in the first round, the odds get higher that it's a better player coming from some random round later on in the draft. So it will be fun. It will be another late night tonight, probably, too. But either way, it should be a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to the Bucks' new draft class. But I think the Bucks did the best they could there. Again, there were some other options, and if you even just look at rushers, there was Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, and a couple other ones. And if you look all around the internet or Twitter, you can find people that had Tryon rated their number one edge guy, and the Bucks were able to get him, even though he was like the fourth or fifth edge guy taken. Others will have him further down the list. But like I keep saying, when you're picking 32nd, you're taking a stab. They went to a position that always helps to have, and a guy who's got characteristics, at least, that you look for. And so we'll see how it goes. But it was definitely one of the weirder feelings watching a Bucks draft pick that I can remember. Because almost every single Bucks draft pick, Bucks first round draft pick, has come attached with some sort of hopefulness for the season to come. And even when they won the Super Bowl, you know, they had already made the trade for Gruden then, and they didn't have a top pick the next year. So this is the first time they've like actually drafted in the first round after winning the Super Bowl, especially returning all these starters. And this one didn't come with those attachments. Like, I didn't think anything about the 2021 season at all watching that draft last night or thinking about who the Bucks were going to draft. I thought about future seasons when they were doing it, which is rare because even with rookies, every year in the past, it's always been like, okay, this guy can play here or here. He's going to help us this year, right? We're going to be better, right? You know, that's always the mindset. And this year, I totally didn't even think about 2021. I mean, unless somebody gets hurt, like I said, he'll still be on the field. And even if nobody gets hurt, he'll be on the field for passing downs and he'll compete with Anthony Nelson and things like that. But it just wasn't a critical thing for 2021. That's a good thing, obviously, but it was just an unusual feeling. This is the first time, as a Buck fan, you would have felt like that watching the draft. So anyway, I want to thank everybody. And no, I'm not changing the outro song. It's still Everybody, Everybody by Black Box, but in honor of Shock G, who passed away last week, who is from Tampa, went to Chamberlain High School. I thought this week we'd roll out with the Humpty Dance, which was legendary when I was a kid in middle school, and I saw this video for the first time on MTV. I wanted to honor him in some way, and our thoughts are with his family and everybody else. So anyway, thanks to the Joes for hosting this show on the number one place anywhere on the internet, TV, radio, or anywhere else for Bucks coverage. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry 4. Thanks to all of you. I'll be back next week. By then, we'll know the rest of the Bucks draft picks. Enjoy the remaining rounds of the draft this weekend, as well as the Kentucky Derby. Oh, I never gave you a Kentucky Derby pick. I haven't actually settled on one yet. I will tweet it out later if you want to go to BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Email me or on Twitter at BobbyGameDay, and I'll put out a Derby pick for tomorrow. So happy Oaks Day. Happy Derby Day tomorrow. Happy NFL Draft Weekend. And I'll talk to you next week. Until then, wherever you are, take care of yourself. Be safe. Have fun. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good night. And go Bucks. Just watch me do the Humpty Hop.